Amen. The Bible says the name of Jesus is a strong tower.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
There is no other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12.
Yes.
Amen. That the only name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen.
Amen.
That precious name of Jesus.
Yes.
Even when we began, we said, bless that wonderful name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of right. Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. No other name I know, somebody said.
No other name I know.
Amen.
Yes.
So we bless him and we give him praise.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. The Father is blessed when we bless the Son.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And the Father does not acknowledge anyone who does not come in the name of the Son.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's usually the stumbling block. That's why the word says that Jesus is the stone that the builders rejected. And he has become the very head of the corner. Amen. The chief cornerstone. Amen. And so he said, if you fall upon this rock, you will be broken. But if I fall upon you, I will grind you into powder. Amen. So he is the very crux of salvation.
Yes, he is.
Without him, there is no Savior. Amen.
No.
So a lot of people stumble over the stumbling block. He's called a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling.
Yes.
Amen. But he is the one that we celebrate.
Yes.
Throughout the year. Amen. We give God praise. We thank him that you are here with us today.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen. I want to say a special thanks. I see a number of visitors who are here today. We thank God for you coming in to be with us at this time. Amen. It's a very special day for us because we're starting a new year. In fact, just in case you don't know, my wife and I began here about 6 months into last year. And so we completed a half of year with St. Timothy as the pastor and first lady, if you will. And so this is our first year beginning, starting at the top of the year. Amen.
Yes.
And so we are exceptionally blessed and thankful to be here. The half a year was very condensed. It was a beautiful thing. We thank God for how things went.
Yes.
Amen. We started to be moved by the Spirit of God to do a number of things. And so the Lord is still on the move. So we thank him for that. Amen.
Yes.
Thanks for every one of you who have been here for that part of the journey.
Yes.
And we're just really waiting with bated breath, if you will, for this coming year to see what God accomplished. Not because of us, but because of his own spirit and his own agenda.
Yes.
Amen. Because we have disposed that we are ready to do his will and do his agenda.
That's right.
Amen. So if we do that and stay on that page, I think we will see some wonderful things here at St. Timothy.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. That being said, thanks to all of you who are joining us for the first time today. So you're having a new experience along with us starting off the year. Now, I've been here visiting at St. Timothy myself. Those of you who are members, you know I've been coming around for many, many years on back, probably 20 years or so, or beyond that, okay, because I actually studied with the founding pastor of this church, and he was one of my mentors back at that time, and so it was like a homecoming to some degree, even when we did return, amen, and a great privilege even to be in this position. Amen. Not to delay the time any longer, because God did give me a very, very good word to share with you to get your year started. And we thank God you are here for this, because you and I basically are living on fallen planet Earth. This is where we are right here.
Yes.
And this is the Earth which is under the curse of God. God has cursed the Earth.
Yeah.
And so if you wonder why is there stuff on the Earth that's not right, when Adam sinned, the Bible said, he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake.
Yes.
You know, and all of the heavens, the whole creation was tainted by the sin of Adam.
Amen.
And so we forget that, though. You know, we think everything's supposed to be all hunky-dory, but we forget that we're living on the cursed fallen Earth. And so we have to be reminded sometimes of that. Now, people who don't trust God don't believe that because they think everything is all about them. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that the creation is really about God.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
And it's about Jesus.
Yes.
And God's great love that he has for mankind. So we have to remind people that this curse is here on earth, and this has been more than a surreal challenge. They like to use that word, surreal. I thought I'd throw it in our commentary today. Challenge throughout the duration of man's existence since the fall of Adam, but it has always been the determination of God to preserve mankind. We mentioned this briefly in Sunday school this morning.
Yes.
Mankind is the object of God's affections. Did you know that?
Yes.
If you're here today, it's because God loves you.
Amen.
Amen.
You are the object of his affection.
Yes, sir.
We mentioned this morning, if God had wanted to get rid of man, when Adam sinned, it would have been easy. One dude, bam, you're out of here, that's it. Didn't have to worry about it. But he didn't. He allowed us to multiply to about 6 billion. So it's about 6 billion people on the earth now. And even though we have homicides and abortions and all kinds of different deaths and murders and genocide and all kinds of stuff going on, there's still about roughly 6 billion people occupy planet Earth. We even have a few in space now that are not even included in that number. They're hovering around the atmosphere out there. So we got people in space and people some everywhere here now. But yet the whole creation fell into sin under the curse of God after Adam's sin.
Yes.
So man is the object of God's affections and the focal point of his great love. He loves you tremendously. Not only does he love you,
yes, he does,
but he loves you tremendously.
Yes. Thank you.
No matter what you think of him.
Yes.
And the reason for that is God never changes.
Never.
God has always been the same. He has never changed. There's no reason or nothing, no force anywhere that can make God change. God is absolutely perfect, without a flaw, without a spot, without a blemish. There's nothing to change. He's perfect.
Amen.
So he doesn't change. No point to change. Nothing to change. What could you do? You couldn't improve him any.
That's right.
He's the very best. He always has been and always will be.
Yes.
So he loved man to start with. So that's something you can count on. The fact that we're here lets us know that God loves us.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
And so basically, just to get us in here, these are some of the hard facts taught in the Word of God, yet man tends to operate in unbelief in reactionary mode rather than in faith in the true and living God. We react to our surroundings. Whatever happens to us, we react based on that. We don't think about God loves me no matter what I'm going through.
No matter what.
Regardless of what it is, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Amen.
It can be a life and death situation. God still loves us. And I have been happy about this myself after I thought about it. Some things you have to really meditate on. But I'm glad God takes care of death and that type of thing.
Yes.
Glad I don't have to deal with that.
Yes.
Because we would never do it. Yeah, we wouldn't. Would we ever deal with it if we had to do it? No. Sometimes people take life into their own hands and they kill people and that type of thing. But we hope we never have to do that.
Yes.
Something you don't want to do. You stay away from that if you're an average person.
Amen.
You know, particularly if you are redeemed. You certainly don't want to be thinking about killing anybody.
Amen.
And even if it's in a matter of sickness or whatever other thing, we wouldn't want to be the one responsible for it.
Yes.
So I'm glad God deals with that.
Amen.
So with these things in mind, today we're going to talk just a little bit about, as we begin the year, something I think will motivate you and kind of jumpstart you into the new year. I want to talk about something which connects us to God, and that is faith. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. See, a lot of people aren't diligently seeking God. They want to sprinkle a little God on, like salt, like pepper, here and there, but they're not diligently seeking a relationship with God. A whole lot of people are not.
Yes.
Even in the church, we have a tendency to put limits on how we interact with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to talk about that because I think that's part of the flaw and part of the fallenness that you and I experience, is the fact that we have some obstacles built into our psyche that have been put on us by our surroundings, all kinds of different things that cause us not to tend toward that intimacy that God wants to have with you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to have intimate connection with us in everything
does.
We do. He wants to be a part of all of the things in your life.
Yes, he does.
And it's a wonderful thing. It's not a scary thing.
Yes,
we think, if I deal with God, I'm going to... Kind of like Peter, when Jesus told him to cast your nets. He was cleaning his nets in Luke chapter 5, and he told him, go take them nets back out there and drop them in the water, and I'll show you how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Peter's going, okay, wait a minute. I'm the fisherman. You're a carpenter from Galilee. And I'm cleaning my nets because we didn't catch anything. And you're telling me, go drop my nets. He says, okay, at your word, I'll drop a net. And he threw a net in the water, the word's in. He drew up the net. It was so full of fish, the net was breaking and it started to sink the ship.
Yep.
And then Peter fell at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. Because he knew that was an act of God, that thing you did there. Amen. I haven't seen nothing like that in all my days as a fisherman here in the at all. Never seen nothing like that before.
Amen.
So he knew that Jesus was God just because he commanded those fish who hadn't been in his net all night. And Jesus told him to drop all your nets, and they probably wouldn't have broke your net if you did what I told you.
Yeah.
You see? And he said, Simon, if you follow me, I'm going to make you become fishers of men.
Yeah.
You know? And I've always thanked God for that verse. Me and my name is Fisher. I say thank you, God. I'm trying to be a fisher of men. I want to bring you all in. I have been a fisher of all kinds of other things in my life before. And so I've been prepared for that. Amen. Anyway, on a lighter note, let's move along. So I want to talk with you today about what people lack, and I think is, just to put it in a word, is faith.
Yeah.
Okay, and we have to have faith because the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God.
Right.
Why? Because you can't see God. He's not there for you to see. Although you can see the works of his hands in everything. Everything on earth is amazing.
Yes,
really. I mean,
is.
If you're being really honest,
yes, it is.
Everything is amazing.
Yes, it is.
You know, you can pick up a blade of grass. People have written doctoral theses on grass or on amoebas or any of the tiniest little stuff God made.
Yeah.
And the books, there's tons of books in the world. We still don't know everything about an amoeba or a piece of grass or anything. You know, there's so many things you could go on. Everything God made is so intensely scientific.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. And people have a tendency to think that science and religion don't go together.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
That is. Yes, it is.
God is omniscience. That's what omniscience is the word omni in science.
Amen.
He is the creator of science. He founded it all. He puts it together. And he makes it work. And so we act like he has nothing to do with science, and we're scientists, and we know about evaporation, and we start to talk about what we know. And what we know is about like taking a thimble, dipping out of the ocean. This is what man knows. The ocean is what God knows. Because he made it all, and he keeps it all together. But we act like he's not science and God are mutually exclusive, but that's not so. So you'll find that the Bible is a very scientific book if you really look at it from that perspective. And we're not going to argue that today. I want to talk with you today briefly in the time we have left on the subject of harnessing the power of persistent faith. Sometimes we have faith and our faith dwindles when circumstances in our lives change. If stuff's going well, we got faith now, God. I thank you for that blessing. I thank you for that raise. I thank you for all the good stuff that's coming in my life. And then all of a sudden, bam, something happens and it upsets your apple cart. And then our faith fails in the midst of trouble. Yet God has given us examples, people like Job.
Yes.
You know, Job is a good example.
Amen.
He was going along, everything was fine, and the devil even made a proposition with God and said, well, you know, the only reason he is like that, actually God summoned the devil in. He was coming in. God says, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job?
Amen.
Satan wasn't really thinking about Job. He said, but he had thought about him before. You could tell by his answer.
Right.
He said, yeah, I thought about him, but you give him all that good stuff. You bless him on the left and on the right. You blessed his kids. You blessed his family. You blessed his wife. You gave him riches. He's the wealthiest man in the East. Yeah, I consider him. But you bless him so much that's the reason he loves you. That's the reason he has faith in you. Because you're so good to him. You know? And then he said, well, if you break him down with all that, bust all that up, he'll curse you to your face. I'm putting it in modern terms. That was kind of how the conversation went. If you strike all that and take it away, he'll curse you to your face. And God says, okay, I'll tell you what. You do all that. You go and strike all those things in his life, and you'll see that Job will come through. He'll come through. God had faith in Job.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
You ever think of it that way? God had some faith in Job.
Yeah.
He believed that if the devil attacks that stuff, starts breaking up your life, wrecking your stuff, that you'll still trust me.
Oh, yes.
I asked the question, would I have that kind of faith if something happened to me like that? And I'm not even going to answer it. I just leave the question hanging. But persistent faith is the thing that you and I need to talk about. I think this is what's going to get us somewhere in this coming year.
Amen.
I'm going to do today just a little different than we normally do. I'm just going to go on through the narrative. Amen. We usually have a separate reading. Amen. But I just want to present this to you today. This
All
is
right.
a special Sunday.
Amen. Amen.
On your handout, we've given you Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Verses 1 to 5, we're going to look there. Mm-hmm. And then I want to talk with you about a few verses in Philippians chapter 3. Mm-hmm. From the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Philippi in chapter 3, verses 7 to 15. In case you happen to be hearing me on audio and you don't have the text in front of you, get your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes 11 and 1. And we'll start here. Solomon is the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, and he writes these words in chapter 11. This is toward the conclusion of the book. He says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Yes. And if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." Mm-hmm. And then we read on in verse 4. He says, "And he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not the way, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit,
yes.
nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all."
Wow.
Okay? Now there's some profound thoughts in what Solomon said. Some of us know that when God asked Solomon, he kind of gave him a blank check. He said, "Ask anything you like,
anything
in the heavens and the earth, and I'll grant it." Now, can you imagine that? What would you do if God gave you a blank check? Here, you fill it out. But some of us would go, okay, we start writing down so many zeros, we run out of room. But you know what Solomon asked for? He said, "Lord, give me wisdom
yes, he did.
To know how to lead your people, because I don't know how to go out or come in." And so God was pleased with the request that Solomon made. He asked for wisdom.
Wisdom.
You know what? Wisdom is better than money.
All right.
If you have wisdom, you can get all the money you need.
Amen.
You know? And so wisdom is better than a lot of other things. And so God was pleased with that request. And so he granted Solomon more wisdom than any man before him or any man after him. So when you read Solomon, you got some deep stuff on your plate.
Yeah.
When you read it, it's just some deep stuff because this is from a man with profound wisdom.
Yeah.
The only one had more wisdom than him is Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Because Jesus said a greater than Solomon is here.
That's right.
When he stood in the midst of his people. So now what Solomon says, I want to talk about just a minute here, and then we'll move on to our New Testament text. He says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." That seems like a waste of bread to some degree, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
"But thou shalt find it after many days." You mean if I throw it away, I'm going to find it? After many days? If it looks like I'm wasting it, it's going to come back to me after many days? That's the question. He says, "You shall find it after many days." See that?
Yes.
He says, "Give a portion to seven and also to eight." Now, he's saying what we would say there on that in our terms today is diversify.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yes.
Divide it up between seven or eight because you don't know which one's going to work, which one is not.
Mm-hmm.
Some people investing in stocks know about that. You know, if you put all your money in one stock, if it fails, boy, you got trouble, right?
Yes.
But if I have six or seven stocks and one of them fails, the other ones might go up and cover me and I'll probably be okay. We call that diversification. And so the concept is here to invest in a number of things is what it says here with what you have on earth. Make your investment in six or seven. And I'm not talking about finances here.
All right.
I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about all the gifts that God has given you, the way you live your life.
Amen.
Diversify. Don't be stuck in one place in life. To find yourself involved in many things in life because there's some fruitful things. Some of them are going to pay off and some of them might not. You see? Now he says that the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. That's something we learned. We think meteorology is new, but it's really true, isn't it? And this was written like back thousands of years ago, you see. And he says, and we also, people have asked that question, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make any sound? We heard, you hear that craziness. Some people won't want to ask you philosophical questions. And he kind of answers, he said, if the tree falls toward the south or toward the north in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. You know, and it's just some things, you don't have control over it. It just happens, and however it is, it is. You see? Now, he says this. This is an application, verses 4 and 5. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. You can sit and try to figure out how the wind is doing and say, well, I'm not going to sow today because it's too windy, or I'm going to wait till tomorrow when the wind is blowing the way I want it to, and you will never get your seed in the ground. You can hold up too long waiting to do something. You know, we do that. We have a tendency. We want to wait till everything is perfect before I get married, or I want to wait till everything is perfect before I go back to school, or whatever kind of thing. We make delays in making decisions because things are not perfect for me to do this. And we try to calculate all those things that are out of our control. So you have to be careful about that, because there's going to be a whole lot of stuff out of your control. Some people have a problem with that. They won't even move because if it's not in my control, I'm not going to move. And you end up not moving, and then you wait too long and you miss the thing you should have done. So the whole of life is comprised of many things that are out of your personal control. You can't worry about that. The good news is that there isn't anything out of God's control. And that if you have a relationship with Him, He can move in and take care of some things for you. Now, this is not talking about be hasty and make hasty moves without thinking through and planning or anything like that. Proverbs 16 says, commit your ways unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Say what you want to do in your life is, I want to give God glory. I want to glorify Him whatever I do. Submit your ways to the Lord. Say, whatever I do, God, I want it to bring glory to your name. And God will begin to establish your thoughts. He'll be a lamp unto your feet, the Bible says, and a lamp unto your path. He'll light the way you're supposed to go to get the thing done that He wants you to do. He'll install the thoughts in your head if you dedicate yourself to Him. And so you can't worry about stuff that's out of your control. There's a whole lot of things that you have no control over. And so if we wait for all of that, we have to learn to trust that God Himself is in control, and therefore we have to learn to put the associated fears, anxieties, pressures, worries, etc., problems from the past, present, potential circumstances, things that might happen if I try this. Sometimes we're scared to take a risk, but if we're doing things in a godly manner and we know that God wants, He's there, He's going to cover us. We want to give Him praise. We want to give Him glory. The things we set our heart on are going to be for God and for the kingdom. Then we don't have to worry about these things. Now, even mistakes, accidents. Sometimes people get stuck in the past. I was looking at somebody on TV last night. Had an issue. It was a horrible thing that happened in their family, but they couldn't get past it. And they were stuck. They were in a prison from the past. Right now, was their life is here today, but something tragic happened in the past, and they can't forget about it. So, I got to shut down right now and I'm stuck. So now you put yourself in a cage. You can't move forward because you're still stuck on something that happened in the past that can't be changed. You can't change it. You know, it may not have been good. You may not enjoy it, but move on. Set your hopes on God in the future. Realize that the reason that we call today the present is because it's a gift from God. This is a present, the fact that you are here. Not just the present, but it is a present from God. God has gifted you with today. You're still here. You have all your whatever you have it, and it's available for you today, and you can use it to God's glory. Or you can sit in a prison and worry about something that happened yesterday. Or Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow about what you will eat or what you will drink or wherewithal shall you be clothed. For these things do the Gentiles seek. People who don't know God are worried about what we're going to eat tomorrow. But those who know God, you know that God has taken care of me all the way up till now. And He promised He will provide what I need. He shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I don't have to sit here and worry about, oh, the stock market may fail. Gas prices might go back up. I guarantee you they will. I'm not trying to prophesy on that, but we don't have to be rocket scientists. Or they went down, now everybody's happy. Oh boy, I can fill up my car for $28 again. You know, it hadn't been like that for years. But we know that won't last, don't we? So, but yet God is moving you forward. You don't have to sit and be upset to the point where you can't operate right now and move forward in what God wants you to do because you're stuck on something that didn't go your way or that you're scared of something that might happen tomorrow. Don't do that. So let that be something you think about this year. Your whole life does not consist in the abundance of things that you possess, Jesus said.
Right.
You know, you have life. If you have opportunity, God can always give you more money.
Amen.
That won't be a problem for God. He's given you everything you needed all the way up till now. You know, I haven't missed very many meals. I'm going to try to miss a few in this year here to get rid of a few of these pounds.
Yeah.
You know, but I have to say God has been real good to me.
Oh,
you know, and so I don't want to get hung up on what I lost yesterday.
Yeah.
Or how things went 5 years ago or this, that, or the other. You know, what I want to do is press on into the future.
Yeah. That's right.
You see, knowing that God is with me, He sustained me to be here now. He will continue to bless me. Why? Because He said He would.
Yeah.
What does that take? That takes faith.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, it may not look like it. It might look like everything's going to come undone and I don't know what's going to happen. But yet faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See?
That's right.
And so it's by faith that people obtain the good report from God. The fact that they held on by faith.
Yeah.
And so don't let yesterday destroy your today. None of that. I want you to understand that even achievement, sometimes people get achievements. They move up and that can stifle you. Like right now, I'm in a position, I just got promoted to the highest position in my at my job that was there in my field, and I'm thinking I'd like to leave there. I'd like to get away. And other people are going, are you crazy? You just got promoted to supervisor. You know, and in my mind I'm thinking, you know what, that was great, I thank God for it, but I'm not going to be stuck there. If God wants me to move and do something else, I need to be ready to pull up stakes and move.
All right.
See, and so that's the whole thing I'm saying. Look at where you are, and I'm not telling people to quit your job, none of that. I'm just saying pray on where you are in life.
That's right.
And understand that God has been your provider. It's not your job, not your husband, not your wife, not your significant other or whatever, none of that. God is the one who is moving you forward to where He wants you to be. And so knowing that achievement holds you down if you think it's something that God wants you to do. You see? And in their proper places, and let us focus on knowing that our perfect Lord is working out all such things for our good.
Yeah.
He says, and Romans 8:28 ought to be one of your favorite verses, for we know. Paul said that he works all things together for good to them who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. You see, he loves you. He knows all about you. He knows everything you've been through. This is the great news about God. I don't want to spend too much time here, else I won't get my other points made. God knows everything you've been through, and he loves you anyway. No matter what it was, some of it was probably good. Some of it may not have been so good. You know, he knows what you've been through. And yet I love you anyway. My son died for you, shed his blood for you. He was risen from the dead for you. Doesn't make any difference what you've been through. Somebody else might hold it against you, but not me. See, if it was some negative thing, and even good things, God knows everything you have been through, and he wants to order your steps and give you more things to do, more responsibility, and all of that. But you have to trust him. You need to have persistent faith. See, I'm not going to just have faith when things are good and going the way I like and when it seems like I'm in control, because some stuff's going to be out of your control. You know, and if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. This is where prayer comes in. We talked about that this morning. You know what, it would be so good if we would take more time, dedicate more time, and I've said this to my wife, I think the devil likes to get in your relationship and stop you from praying. You know why? Because he's scared if you do, God will do something. So he wants to stop you from praying. Don't go praying now. You get down to pray and all the phones got to ring. Sally Sue needs to talk to you right now. You see. Or Joe Blow. We need you to come over here right now. Get up off your knees, whatever you do. You see. Don't come in here. When you get ready to pray, all kinds of distracting things come in. And we allow it.
Yes, we do.
So we got to be careful. You know what? The flesh many times sides with the devil.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said in John 6:63, the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life.
Right.
And the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. See?
Right.
And sometimes, well, I don't have time to study. Well, yes, you do. You better have some time.
Right.
Need to make some time to study.
Amen.
Make some time to pray.
Yes.
Don't let the world just push you around, because you'll be like a dead fish floating downstream.
Amen.
You know, and you'll be going wherever the world is taking you. The course of the world will not take you anywhere good.
Yes.
So you're going to have to break away from that.
Yes.
and get in and make sure you make time to pray, especially this year. Because I want to see what God's going to do. I think people have talked about this area for a long time and criticized how ugly it is and, oh, it's blighted and blah, blah, blah. And I think God can make it just as beautiful as Ladue or Chesterfield or anywhere else if he wants to. And if we pray and seek his face, God will use you to do stuff you would not imagine. It's way above what you think. And so since we know that the scriptures teach us, think about this one now. Here's another heavy thought I want to put on you. That eternal life is not an amount of time. I've asked thousands of people this when I go out in the world. What do you think eternal life is? Everybody says the same thing most of the time. Oh, that means they'll live forever. Well, that's not it. Because you know what? People in hell are going to be living forever. Hell is going to be filled with folks living forever. But they are not going to like the choice that they made to reject Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Eternal life, Jesus describes in John 17:3, eternal life is a relationship to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He says this is life eternal. Look at John 17:3. If you don't do it now, make a note. Look it up later. This is life eternal. He gives you the definition. To know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So eternal life is a quality of relationship with the living God and with the Son, Jesus Christ, who has been given to settle everything that was destroyed or damaged when the sin of Adam came into the world. Whatever was corrupted by sin, God gave Jesus to fix it. That's why he is called the Christ. He is the restoration of everything that was hurt, marred, damaged, or by the sin of Adam. Did you know that? So there's nothing in your life that hasn't been fixed by Jesus if you trust in him. Everything in your life is perfect. When God sees you, he sees the Christ. Who is Jesus Christ, the Messiah? He shed his blood to give you a perfect status with God. God doesn't see any of your flaws or deficiencies. By his choice, he made that provision. That's why he provided his Son. So that if you trust in the Son, I cover you with him, and when I see you, I see him. So that's why we are one with Christ. Understand that total forgiveness is available to you only by Christ. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done. Titus 3:5 says, you see, but it's by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus. And so basically Christ fixed everything, and his life was given to settle everything that was destroyed or damaged by the sin of Adam. And this was entirely God's idea. Man didn't think this up.
That's right.
You know what? God decided it before he made anything. Did you know that? In the Godhead, the Father and the Son decided that salvation would be, there would be a redeemed humanity that he would purchase for his Son, that Jesus would be crucified, even before Satan sinned. That's deep. Now, we won't talk about that today. We won't be able to unscrew that in the time we have left. But the fact is, this was a decision God made. So if you're saved, it's because you were made alive by the gospel. God decided by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe, it says in 1 Corinthians 2.
That's right.
And you believe it because God gave you faith. Now what happens if your faith is persistent and you trust God in everything going on in your life? What would that do for you? Think that through. Okay, so basically, since it's God's idea, not ours, let us learn to harness the power of confidence in the reality that God is for us who believe in Jesus Christ. You wouldn't believe if God didn't give you faith to believe. People who do not know the one and only true God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, are the ones that God is seeking to learn to worship him properly, and he has commissioned us to go and teach them about Christ. So that's the responsibility we have as a church, is to go ye therefore in all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father. They're not our enemies. They're our mission field. We love people, whoever they are, whether they believe or they don't. Because we've been given the responsibility and the privilege to go out and tell them that God has made a way for you. No matter who you are, and if you trust in the name of his Son, he will save you. Amen. So now let's cut quickly to the chase. Time's getting away. Philippians. Let's listen to these verses in chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul. He says here, in verse 7, but what things were gained? This is Paul looking back over his past in his life. He says, I used to think certain things in my life were gain. He had mentioned them in the first part of chapter 3. He said he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, found blameless, as touching the righteousness in the law, was a Pharisee. He said, was talking about all that. He said, but all of that, when I understood the gospel, what things were gain to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss. That means not only those things in the past, but anything else in the world. The pursuit of anything in the world is lost in view of the for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You notice this, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now that's a very clean translation of the Greek word skubalon, dung. It would better be translated with a vulgar word we can't say in church. You know, but think about dung. That's what King James put there. And he said, I count it all as dung. In view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ. You see that? And that I may know him. See that? That's that eternal life relationship. And the power of his resurrection. See, knowing Christ means you understand that he defeated death in the grave.
That's right.
Did anyone else do that? I want to ask the question.
No.
Did Confucius do that? No.
No.
Did Buddha do that? No.
No.
Did Mohammed do that? No.
No.
We could go on and on. No one has done that but Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
So he has given you reason to trust him.
Yes.
And this is history. I'm not talking about philosophy or religion or anything anybody thinks. I'm talking about historic fact.
Yes.
Because all they had to do to shut the church down was produce that corpse.
Right.
Roll that body, that dead body, right down the middle of Jerusalem on Main Street. Say, nope, nope, here he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you the Jews, the Romans, and all them who live would have been happy to go to that tomb and roll that sarcophagus right down the middle of Main Street in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Know why they didn't?
Mm-hmm.
He was not there. He was not there. So you have reason to trust and believe in him. The church is founded on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Paul understands that. He was there. He said, hey, that I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already attained. He says, I got a lot of work I still need. Either was I already made perfect, but this one thing I do, he says, I follow after. He says, that I may be apprehended, for which I also am apprehended of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. See that?
Yes.
And reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And then he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that means we've been declared perfect by God, by faith in Jesus Christ, let us be thus minded.
Yeah.
And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So God says, I have a living relationship with you.
Yeah.
If you don't understand all that, keep on walking with me.
Yeah.
And I'll reveal it to you when you get ready.
Jesus,
when he went away, remember that? He said, I have many more things to say to you, but you're not able to bear it right now. You see? But the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will lead you and guide you to all truth. See, so we want to learn that, to be persistent in faith. Trust God in everything. So since God is for us and no one can therefore successfully be against us, his gospel is centered in historic fact. Do you know that?
That's right.
It's not a speculation.
Amen.
You know, this is history. Yeah. Why? Because it's 2015 years since Christ was born. That's history. That's not a matter of a myth or something that never happened. You know what? Who else has that honor? No one. We talk about it all the time. Why come it's not 2015 AB after Buddha? It's not so. It's 2015 AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord.
That's right.
And before Christ is BC. Time is calculated by Christ.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
So whoever don't like it, too bad. Read them in week. You ought to like it because it's true. It's history.
Yeah.
It's not a fantasy. It's not religion.
Yeah.
It's the facts.
Yeah.
Your birth certificate is calculated by his birth certificate.
Yeah.
And your tombstone will have a dash that represents your life, the time you were born and the time you died. You see? So trust Christ. He is the real Savior of the world. Don't let anybody blow smoke up your nose here, because it's true. It's embedded in history. You see that? It's embedded in time. The very clock is ticking seconds based on when Christ was born and also when he will return, which is the next event on God's calendar.
Yes.
See, so it is the most real of any professing so-called religion, philosophy, or man-made belief system. They don't have such a credential as that. None of them do. Therefore, our faith in him who did not spare his own son, think about that, ought to be persistent, bold, confident, impulsive, spontaneous, joyful, therapeutic, because it's heals and universal, it's for everybody, unwavering, and powerful, and not only that, but contagious. We want everybody to understand the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. So I hope that these words will fuel you into 2015.
Amen.
If you're here today and you are seeking membership in a church, we want to allow you to come at this time, or you can come, or you can raise your hand. If you don't want to come, that's okay. Let us know. If you are not saved, we want to invite you to come also.
Yes.
People seeking membership and also people seeking salvation, please come at this time. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat right there on the front row. Amen. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now.
He is calling.
He is calling.
He is calling.
Just now.
Just now.
He is calling. He is calling. Just now. Don't be ashamed. The Lord says, if you are ashamed to own me before men, I will also be ashamed to own you before my Father who is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Take that bold step. Get your year started right. Come right now. Amen. If you want to be a member, we are here to teach you. We try to keep the word relevant and plain as possible. Amen. We need a lot of help, so we're blessed and thankful if you will roll up your sleeves and join us as we continue with the work that the Lord has given us to do. Amen. And if you're here and you just are unable to get up even or don't want to, raise your hand and we will send somebody back to speak with you. Amen. But you are welcome at the St. Timothy MB Church. It is our pleasure to serve you in the manner of teaching and service to Christ. Amen. Amen. We give the Lord praise and we thank him for who has come. Amen. We're here from Sister Weaver at this time.
Brother Pastor, we have Brother
Morton's
Hall Christian Experience.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you know, I was here yesterday for a while, and I was telling my brother when he came this morning, I was praying. I asked the Lord to send some young men here to the church because I need help.
Amen.
Yes. And today he came. He just showed up. So I said, I believe you are an answer to my prayer.
Amen.
Would you like to say anything at all about your experience with Christ? You can if you like.
Actually, I'm a Christian, originally from an Adventist church family. I've been in the country for about, this is my third year actually.
Amen.
Actually, I've not been going to church, I won't lie about that, because of my work.
Amen.
They don't give us a weekend, breaks and all that, so I said, I got this off today, I need to look for a church.
Amen. Amen.
So I was just driving by, I saw the church, I said, I have to come in.
Amen. Amen. I believe that's just an answer to prayer.
Amen.
I prayed like that right out of that lobby. I was here yesterday. I said, Lord, we need young men and women, of course, but I was praying for young men just because the men have to get themselves together.
Yes.
And we need strong men in the church. I think that's another problem in our culture.
Yes.
Men tend to be kind of weak.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to criticize anybody or anything, but it's just the way it is. And the culture tends to be more and more soft. But we need men who are men of God who can take a stand for the truth. So we welcome you today. We're going to extend to you today the right hand of fellowship.
Amen. Amen.
We ask you to stand right here, and we give you the right hand of fellowship, all rights and privileges. And the deacons and the congregation will come and shake the hand.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Right.